Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal. And I'm here tonight with Bruce McCurdy. And what is either a still or an atomic weapon in behind you?
Yeah, that's actually a telescope.
Yeah, it's still.
I just got a new telescope.
Cool. Oh, there you go. Down submarine.
It's from my late friend John Paysant, who built that telescope and used it for years until he died. And I had a problem with my own scope, so I got this one to check it out for a while and remember my friend John and do some nice backyard astronomy. So this is the only place in the room it would fit.
Cool. Very cool. Well,
nice color.
I like it, Bruce. Like I say, it's a very nice still. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you, because you're from Newfoundland, I'm not saying that. Bruce, great victory tonight.
Yeah.
7-4 win. The Oilers had lost 7 straight game ones, much talked about on the internet the last few days. Yep. Kind of astonishing. Yeah. And it said, I think it actually did say something about the team, about their lack of maturity in their game. And tonight they beat the LA Kings 7-4. It was a game they came out, dominated from the start. And really the Kings never got closer than 2 goals in the game. And I personally thought it was a very, very business-like, professional win from the Oilers. I saw a ton of things, which I was hoping to see, and a ton of things that I liked. I was very impressed with the Oilers in this victory tonight. So what's your take on it?
Well, sure, nice to get the win. I mean, there was from 4-0 ahead halfway through the second period. The fact that that LA was able to score 4 goals in the second half of the game does not thrill me. You know, Edmonton thankfully had a couple power plays to stretch their lead early in the third. And let's face it, the last 2 goals were awful flukes. But there was a spell of the late going of the second period. They got a call. Thankfully, they got a call on a disallowed goal, or might have got real tense. But there was a hell of a lot of good things for sure. Oilers power play being high on that list, going 3-for-4 in just under 5 minutes, pounding 11 shots on net and 3 of them goals, and 6 or 7 of them probably grade A shots were there on the power play.
Yeah, the grade A shots in the game were, just go there, the Oilers had 18, and 7 of them were 5 alarm shots, and the Kings had 10 with 5 alarm shots. So it was a pretty dominant performance. You know, going into this game, we had looked at the 4 games they played earlier this year, and the Kings actually had 47 grade A shots to 46 for the Oilers, even though the Oilers had won 3 of those games. So for me, this series, although I have, you know, I picked the Oilers in 5, the Kings are a tough team, a really tough team to beat. And but I just thought the Oilers took it to them tonight. And even though they did score 4 goals, Bruce, three of them were fluky. And, you know, the 1 goal was really nice that they scored. It was a great goal. But almost all of the Oilers' goals were excellent goals. And the Kings got some fluky ones. The score flattered the Kings tonight, I'm going to suggest. It was, they were never really in this game. And the play that was called back was gloved in. He did direct the puck to the ice with his glove. So that was the right call. You're not allowed to do that, even if you're an LA King in the NHL playoffs. And Trevor Lewis, even if you're a veteran LA King. Mm-hmm. So
I was saying to my wife, the refs are going, what are we going to say to Trevor?
All right, Bruce, this is our 2 good things, 2 numbers, 2 good things, 2 bad things, and 2 numbers podcast with 1 conundrum. Bruce, well, why don't I just start it off, because your good things are quite comprehensive, but and they kind of overlap a little bit. And I'm just picking one moment here. Well, it links a couple key moments in the game. So the Oilers go into the third period 4-2, and the game is in doubt. And late in the third period, there had been an absolutely filthy, disgusting hit by Trevor Moore of the LA Kings on Vincent Desharnais. And I was actually thrilled to see Desharnais back in the game and seeming to skate without any penalty. Desharnais taking the puck. He passes it. And Moore is allowed to finish his check. That was okay. But you're not allowed to barrel into a guy's knees from the blind side like that. That was an intent to injure play. If it wasn't against Vincent Desharnais, who's a big, the biggest guy on the ice, mm-hmm. He gets penalties for being the biggest guy on the ice, and he's an unskilled player, relatively. If that player had been against a skill player, all hell would have broken loose. And I bet you it would have been a 5-minute major. But I just think you're allowed to get against the great big guy. Yeah, you can do that kind of thing. I think Trevor Moore should be ashamed of that hit, and he should be suspended for that hit. He should be suspended by the NHL for 2 or 3 games for intent to injure. That was a dirty, dirty, dirty hit. And anyway, he did get a penalty. And the good news is that the Oilers, who had been up 4-2, and the Kings had come back with 2 late goals in that period. And if the Kings got another one early in the third, who knows what's going to happen. But because of Moore's penalty, he's in the penalty box, and the Oilers' power play went to work. And did Leon, Trevor Moore was, he got capital punishment, Bruce. Yep. Leon Draisaitl's executioner shot chopped him down. And he just, what a great shot. What a play by Draisaitl. No matter how many times you see that shot, it's always amazing. It is always breathtaking. The way he just lashes that puck into the net as he does.
He got right up in the roof this time, and he had to, because Talbot had most of the lower part of the net, I thought. But
yeah,
Leon whizzed it right into the top netting.
Just a beautiful goal. And at that point, the game was pretty much over. It's 5-2. Mm-hmm. And the Kings have had trouble scoring all year long. Mm-hmm. And didn't look like to me they were going to come back in the game, and they certainly did not. So that was my good thing. What is yours?
Yeah, well, that's justice, all right. And it was the game-winning goal in the end, and Moore had a really good look at it because the goal was scored from the penalty box side, and he was even in the closer penalty box, so he got a real nice look at that goal. And I agree with you that needs to be looked at. I will fiercely predict he will get a fine. And that there will be no suspension because Desharnais wasn't an A-list player and he did get up and finish the game. But that was a low bridge hit in the worst Hilliard Graves tradition. Pull a name from the distance past. It was infamous for injuring guys with low, dirty, vicious hits like that.
Mandatory 1970s sports reference.
There you go.
Of the night. There'll probably be several more because that's just how we roll. Hilliard Graves was a winger with the Oakland Seals.
And the Canucks. I remember Canucks. Yeah. I remember him as a Canuck, and I remember him as a filthy so-and-so. But Canucks fans loved it when he hit guys like that, but the opponents never seemed to be too thrilled about it.
If we're completely honest, we may have loved the odd Craig Muni or Brian Marchment hit as Oilers fans.
Yeah, well, they were dirty. They didn't do that particular low bridge, like go underneath the guy, you know, with the hip into
They did the knee on knee, though.
Yeah, sometimes there was definitely some of that, but not that specific type of hit where you put the hip check the guy in the side of the knee and try and rip up his ligaments, you know.
Isn't that why Messier went mental on Jamie McCown that one time? And he claimed he lost his, or was it McSorley?
McSorley went mental on Mike Bullard after he had some kind of headshot, and he speared Mike Bullard, viciously speared Mike Bullard, and he said he blacked out. McSorley did. Messier, on the other hand, Jamie McCown, he was trying to go around McCown one-on-one at full speed, and McCown just ran him into the end boards at the saddle dome hard as he could.
Oh, there you go. You don't do that to Mark Messier.
Yeah, so the next period, they were out on the ice together, and Messier just attacked him right off the face-off, punched him, and I think he broke his cheekbone and got a 10-game suspension. But it was a retaliatory situation where he was saying, you don't do that to me. And you know what? From that day until the rest of his career, nobody cheap-shotted Mark Messier because they knew they'd pay a price for it.
You know, interestingly, Hilliard Graves played in the era of the 70s when penalties were a dime a dozen. His penalty totals were 52, 29, 29. This is per season. 49, 30, 13, and 47, and then 26. So he wasn't a heavily penalized. I guess he not only did he hit people and hurt them, he wouldn't even stand up and fight after. He's even more low down and on there, Bruce.
Yeah, I'm not sure he played it. You know, he played a lot, and he wasn't like a big, you know, puncher or anything, but he was pretty famous for his low bridge hits.
The California Golden Seals. Yikes. All right. Your good thing, Bruce. Your first good thing.
Yeah. Well, my first good thing's got to be Connor McDavid. He had a wonderful game tonight with 5 assists, 4 of them of type primary assists. The Oilers' power play was humming tonight, but also they were at even strength. He even had he was on the ice for the first 6 Edmonton goals. He had a tertiary assist on 1. This was the Henrik goal, where he passed to Bouchard, to Hyman, to Henrik. But otherwise, he passed to the goal scorer, which 3 different times was Zach Hyman, who's my other good thing. I'm just going to take them both together here.
Sure. Makes sense.
I mean, I could call them both one good thing because they were certainly a duo in this game. But all 3 times McDavid set up Hyman for finishing touches, and mostly from close range, the Hyman goals. Trying to remember the first one, but
that was that spin move by McDavid,
right?
And then he put it on net out front, mm-hmm. and Hyman.
Kingsbury
lost it, and then Hyman
Moore tried to clear it and couldn't, and Hyman just kind of tapped it in. Yeah, he was a good 7 feet out for that one. It was a little closer for the other two. The second one, McDavid whirled up from behind the net, another spin move, and a beautiful backhand pass right through the defender's feet onto Hyman's stick for the finish in the slot. And then the third one was another pass that just found a hole somehow right across the slot, and it caught Hyman on the stick right hanging right off the left goal post where he likes to be, and he was able to shovel that one home, and the hats just came raining down at I'm sure there was 1,000 or more hats tonight, and a very long delay for that. And anyway, McDavid just, he was skating so well, and his spin moves, like he pulled off several of them, including 2 that led directly to goals and 2 or 3 more that led to excitement, you know, and he just had it going on all game long. What was his grade A shot count tonight, David? It would have been,
I can look it up for you, Brisky.
Yeah, some
97
strength and a bunch on the
8, 6 just on 8. The
power play.
Yeah.
6 on the power play, which was really, really humming, cooking with gas in this game.
And you know, those spin moves, Bruce, mm-hmm. not only are they like a wonder, but to behold. Mm-hmm. And like they get you time and space from the other player, right? Like, but they're just, you're really stymied as a defender because that guy's puck protecting at the same time, right? Like he's really using his body so effectively mm-hmm. to guard yep. that puck. It's just such yep. a deadly combination all into one for an offensive deke, an offensive move. Very few people can pull that move off, though, and control the puck. Like maybe Cale Makar and Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby. Maybe that's and it.
Danny Savard
in the old days. Kucherov, Gretzky, of course. That was his spin move, was his big thing. But, players just At that level, there's just very few who are able to execute it. Draisaitl can do it now and then. It's just a really hard move to make.
Yes. Yeah, Draisaitl takes a backseat to no one when it comes to puck protection. But the McDavid's spins tonight, but, you know, he had a whole lot going on in this game. His passing game in particular was first rate. And for his part, Hyman had the three goals. He came close one or two other times. He did take one play that didn't involve McDavid. He took a great lead pass from Matthias Ekholm, stretch pass, and went in on a breakaway. And Talbot robbed him. Cam Talbot made maybe his best save of the night with the blocker on Hyman. And then he went into the corner to retrieve the rebound and got run. And it looked like he was shaken up. And I'm sure people felt the, oh no, after all this, now when the game's decided,
he gets hurt. I did.
But he did come back to play one more shift after that, and he came back to do the interview at the end of the game. So I guess he wasn't too badly wrecked, but he certainly felt it. And there was the Oilers had to pay a price to break through the Kings' defense tonight, and Hyman paid the piper a few times and kept coming back.
How is that not a penalty? I mean, a guy's on a breakaway and just gets hacked. You know,
yeah, you got
hacked. Obvious penalty.
There, and then in the corner, maybe that's where he got hurt, was on the hack.
I think so. Okay. I think it was the hack. Because I think he was just mad in the corner, like upset that there had been no penalty.
Off, right.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. What, no penalty? How can that not be a penalty? He just got hacked. So anyway, I was glad that he was.
That's the three power play goals already in the game rule. Can't have any more power plays, no matter what happens.
Bruce, my second good thing was the defensive effort of the Edmonton Oilers. And I've been talking for some time about how the only team that can beat the Oilers in these playoffs is the Oilers themselves by not bearing down on defense, by making poor risk-reward decisions, moving up to the attack when you shouldn't, abandoning the defensive zone, abandoning the defensive slot when you shouldn't. Things that are essentially common occurrences on the Oilers and have been in the playoffs as well, and cost them the series against Vegas. And this year we had such encouraging play for a while. When I look back at the January record, which I did again recently, it really was against weaker teams. I know that we Oiler fans hated that being pointed out, that the Oilers' winning streak came against a string of weaker teams. But there was truth to that. But nonetheless, they played outstanding defensive hockey against those teams, which is something. And tonight, for the first time in the first game of the playoffs, it's always taken a while for the Oilers to discover this defensive discipline game in the playoffs, and they've done it sporadically in other playoff years, and they've played that game sporadically in other playoff games. If they want to win the Stanley Cup, they must bring this game every game. And they did it tonight in the first game. They really played solid defense. I was so impressed with players like Leon Draisaitl, Darnell Nurse, Cody Ceci. And I know, and we're going to talk about some of the mistakes that were made later in the game. But those guys, Nurse just played, I thought, until his mistake late in the game. He played a near flawless game. He was moving the puck well. He was defending well. He was making plays all over the ice. And I thought, there you go, Darnellers. That's the game. That's the game that you need to play. Keep it simple. Keep it safe. And you really can help this Oilers team. CeCe was the same thing. You know, there was early in the game, there was hardly any mistakes at all in the first period that led to grade A shots for the Kings. I think they had one grade A shot in the entire first period. There was one breakdown where Ekholm had a pass picked off in the neutral zone and Arvidsson got a breakaway early in the second. That was the first really major mistake that happened. And the next one didn't happen till later in the period when Ekholm, off a faceoff, kind of got drawn into the corner and Bouchard failed to take Byfield's stick in front of the net. Those were the only real plays where I'm thinking, like, those are bad plays. Like, the Ekholm play was kind of bad luck, the turnover. But those were bad plays. Other than that, the Oilers were playing just outstanding defensive hockey. And the players who need to get the risk reward, like Nurse and Draisaitl, who have struggled with that, and Kane, I thought all of those guys did too. They led in that way. I thought Leon was outstanding tonight. I just thought he was moving well, defending hard, and that's Leon Draisaitl that can win a Stanley Cup for you. And if they keep playing this way, Bruce, well, let's just say this was a good signal tonight, because I'm from Missouri now on the Oilers.
Yeah.
Until they can play, until I see this defensive game consistently, until this is their calling card, I'm not convinced they can win the cup anymore. Like in other years, I've been very exuberant about their chances, but I've, you know, hard experience has taught me that, no, you've got to play this way. They've got to make it that their definition is this kind of defensive game going into the game. It's their mindset. Their skill will take over, but they can't rely on it. They've got to play defense, and they did tonight.
Yeah, they had a good long stretch of solid D, you know, when right till the last few minutes of the second, and then the very end of the game, like say even those two goals were scored kind of against, you know, what rationally should have happened.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, my one bad thing is the second goal, the one off the faceoff. And they always seem vulnerable to giving up really good chances like immediately after faceoffs. This was actually a one faceoff. And Carrick pulled it back into the corner, but somehow the LA guy beat Bouchard to the puck in the corner, and they he played it around behind the net, and all of a sudden there's an LA guy behind the net and nobody around him, and he circled around and was able to beat Ekholm
Kempe
with the pass. And I think they still gave the goal to Kempe. I was almost sure that Byfield had tucked it in. All I know for sure is that Bouchard, in coming back to the net front, did not tie up the player in any way at all.
Byfield. No, they have Kempe now, don't they?
They do. They said it hit Bouchard's skate and went in, but I think it hit Bouchard's skate and then...
Oh, they have campaign.
And you're then right, Byfield tucked it in was what I thought I saw, and they may change it. But either way, it either bounced in off of Bouchard or the guy that he should have been covering had a free stick to tap it in. It was just a little bit of inattention to detail. And it's just one of those things where it takes like 5 seconds. You can be playing perfect and you can just... 5 seconds, a couple little mistakes, bang, it's in the net.
Yeah.
And now it's 4-2, and you're going, geez, it was 4-0. Halfway through the second, they cut half the lead out, and there's still a whole another period to go. But thankfully, I guess, Moore took that penalty, and the power play took command.
Yeah, I think the one replay, I thought it hit Bouchard's skates and went in. And then the other replay, it almost seems certainly like Byfield put it in with his stick. So maybe the first replay that I saw was correct. Maybe it was a bit of both. You're right. Possibly a bit of both.
It hit Bouchard's skate, but then it went off and it just got tucked inside the post. Anyway, it was just a momentary letdown. And that's what makes it my bad thing. It's just one of those, you can be playing good, but you have to focus in the here and now at all times.
Well, it's never good when you have Adrian Kempe charging the net and there's no defenseman there to meet him, right? Like neither guy was there.
Oh.
So something, if this is the Oilers faceoff system, they've got to, anyway, I think there was a breakdown. And I hadn't, like, even the first goal that they scored was the dreaded Californian outside shot that went through a triple screen, two Oilers screening and one King. So that was a fluky goal. And then the next one was, you know, obviously batted out of the air. So there were so many fluky goals the Kings were getting. And I'll just go right to my bad thing now, I guess, because I think that, like, I'm not on Twitter right now or social media, but heading into the game, there was quite a bit of criticism of Darnell Nurse. There was Travis Yost of TSN, a TSN writer, and he sounds like he's cheering for the Oilers, but he wrote in his post on the prediction for this series, he wrote, quote, "I fear every moment Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci are on the ice together." And That's a very strong statement, but I have been feeling it myself lately, if I'm completely honest. So it's they have struggled together out there, and it's a combination of things. But I just think essentially it's both of them trying to do too much on the attack, and not putting enough emphasis just on simple, straightforward defensive play. And so my bad thing is the fact that they had such great games on defense. I just thought they really locked it down and did everything right. And then just the two most ridiculous goals against. The first one is a centering pass that goes in off Nurse's skate right into the net. And as you mentioned, and as we've talked before on this podcast, Nurse does lead the team on goals deflected into his own net every year. And I don't know why that is, but that is the case. And then the next one was one of the weirdest plays I've seen. I guess we saw Stu Skinner break his stick last year trying to make a pass too, and there was a weird goal against after that. But this was Cody Ceci.
Tying goal in game 6 against the Kings.
That really
big,
hurt.
Big goal at the time. And Skinner, you may have noticed all year, when he comes out to play the puck, he always slams a stick on the ice before he plays it.
Oh, yeah.
He bangs the stick just to make sure it's not going to break on him. He does it over and over again. Every game you can find him doing that 4 or 5 times. But this wasn't Skinner, of course.
This was Cody Ceci. So it was like he's just making a pass over to his partner and his stick absolutely blows up. And then he's panicked and he falls to the ice. And instead of putting the puck to the boards or into the corner, he still tries to, in his head, he's got that pass. I got to complete the pass. So he tries to complete the pass by passing the puck with his hand over to Nurse. And of course it goes straight to an LA Kings player who passes it over, and there's a wide open net and a goal. Just such a terrible bad luck play for Cody Ceci and for Darnell Nurse, frankly, both those plays. And I hope that there were nothing goals because the Oilers were so far ahead at that point and it was so late in the game. But it did kind of, they were really fantastic tonight. I thought they both played their best game in a long time. And boy, was that ever refreshing to see, because the Oilers need these two guys to play like they can play. And they can play solid defensive hockey when they keep it simple and safe.
Yeah, well, no, they played a hard game too. 5 hits for Ceci, 6 for Nurse. You know, they were banging bodies. They were winning battles. They were generally, you know, getting the puck moving north and on out of the zone. And then, like, that last goal, I mean, neutral zone faceoff, one cleanly back to Ceci. It's just routine D-to-D and walk it out, right? And then he must have had his stick slashed on a previous shift or stepped on or something, because it just went kaboom just as soon as he tried to do something with it.
Well, apparently these modern sticks, Bruce, the higher they end, like the higher end the stick is, the more expensive and the more high performance it is, the mm-hmm. more likely it is to snap, mm-hmm. is what a stick salesman told me. But I don't know why Cody Ceci would have the highest performance stick on the ice, but you'd think he'd just have a big, thick piece of lumber with a nail in it.
When's the last time you saw Leon Draisaitl break his stick?
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Almost never, right? Because he's got that big cudgel that he carries around with him, and it doesn't tend to snap.
Yeah, it's got an axe.
He does, but
yeah. All right, so that was my bad thing. Did we deal with your bad thing yet? I can't remember.
It was the second
you
goal.
You worked it in. That's right.
Ekholm and Bush getting beat down low.
Yeah, that wasn't good. All right, Bruce, your numero.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the number 4,333, which is the number of days that have passed since the last time Adam Henrique scored a goal in the playoffs. And that was in, I got his log up here, that was in the final game of the 2012 Stanley Cup Finals, also against LA Kings. He was with the New Jersey Devils at the time. And they lost the cup, but he scored in the last game. And since then, he played 4 playoff games in a series for Anaheim in 2018 that they got swept by San Jose. So my second number is 4,335 days since the last time Adam Henrique won a playoff game. 12 years ago. So congratulations to you, Adam Henrique, on that, those feats. And he was a big part of it. I thought he had an excellent game tonight, Adam Henrique. And he had a goal. He had a helper. He had a few won battles that we noted along the way that contributed to scoring chances. And not a perfect game. He took a penalty. You know, there was one or two things that battles that he didn't win. But I thought he was one of Edmonton's stronger players. And he looked just fine on the left wing on that line with McDavid and Hyman. And that allowed Nugent Hopkins to pair up with Drysdale and I think strengthen Edmonton's second line a little bit. And so I don't mind this current deployment of the top six.
I really like it, honestly. And I wasn't expecting this. You know, we hadn't seen Henrique with McDavid and Hyman too much. But he is a hard player in his own way. He plays a pretty hard game. And on that one, I think it was maybe Hyman's second goal where McDavid made the spin move out from behind the net and made the backhand pass to Hyman. My wife and I, we usually re-watch plays because we want to see McDavid's, you know, incredible skating, right? His technique and what he's able to pull off. But in this one, we were re-watching it to see Henrique's very smart play. He took out two LA Kings. He took out his man. He went to the puck and got the puck in the corner. And then McDavid gets it. And then Henrique goes to the net. And he's got his lane to the net. He's allowed to go there. And he manages to bump into Drew Doughty and take out Drew Doughty at the side of the net. Stop Doughty from getting onto McDavid behind the net. And it's a legal play. It's got plausible deniability that he was going for the right place in that with that pick play. Mm-hmm. But it was a pick play. And it was a veteran move. And it led to a goal. It helped lead to a goal. Maybe they might have scored that anyway. But that certainly helped taking out Drew Doughty, taking away the best defender from his lane. Doughty probably would have got a stick on McDavid or some dirty thing like that and stopped the play. And, I mean, I admire Drew Doughty. He's such a fantastic hockey player. But great play by Henrique. And yeah, the second line, Bruce, does have something going for it now because Nugent Hopkins is such a smart player, and he complements Draisaitl really well. And Fogle's energy does too. And the top line, you have these three players are all really smart hockey players. They work well together. The hockey IQ of the Oilers has gone up significantly with players like Henrique and Corey Perry joining the team. And the third line, they moved Kane. You know, Kane who's got playing with his injury. McLeod and Perry, they're all smart hockey players. And that line looked good. Kane, I thought, had a strong game. And it's interesting, you know, there's a lot of controversy around his announcement that he has a sports hernia. Like there's questions, should he have had an operation earlier this year and go on LTIR? And so Oilers could have pulled to Vegas, you know, which is a fair question. That's a fair question. There's like, you know, is he throwing Kenny Holland under the bus? Fair question. But I would say there's a psychological brilliance on a certain level of saying that you're hurt because you could see all year something wasn't right with Kane. And, you know, you just see certain movements that he made where he just was not agile around the puck, agile with the puck. And now we know why. And it takes a certain amount of pressure off him. You know, people will be judging him. People judge players who are injured if they don't know they're injured for not performing. And now that kind of pressure, now everyone's like, oh, like, so whatever, suddenly you watch Kane and you think, oh, he made a great play. And he did that when he's hurt with his terrible injury. So it kind of makes, I think it makes you feel better about him as a player watching him, and he's gotten that out there. And I don't think, the other team can target him because you know where you're going to target. You don't even know where to target. So anyway, I think he did it for a reason, and it was maybe that reason was get a bit of sympathy and take the pressure off, and
put it on Ken Holland.
I don't really, yeah.
Oh boy, Holland's taking it. It's an interesting paradigm. Like we're hearing all sort of the cheating cheaters from who cheat from Las Vegas, and then how come we don't cheat like the cheating cheaters who cheat from Las Vegas?
Yeah, we should cheat.
Yeah.
Why can't we be cheating cheaters who cheat? Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to beat them or someone else to beat them. They won their first game tonight, and Stone scored on his first shift in 2 months. I guess he came back from, did his Lazarus act again.
That man, takes a lot of gall. Brutal
jokes.
I just hope Vegas gets theirs, and I think they're gonna. So, anyway, I don't know what to make of the Kane thing. Like, should he have gotten this injury earlier or surgery earlier? Because I guess it's a fairly quick recovery from it, but who knows? And
we only missed two games until the very last week of the season, and
you've been playing well too.
One of the games he was scratched. Was it the Ottawa game? And they called it a maintenance day to kind of cover for him. And he's kind of treated it as if he'd been healthy scratch. That was like a month ago.
Yeah.
So, you know,
he's an ornery character.
Yeah, he is definitely ornery. And
he's an ornery guy.
He had six shots tonight in a strong game. One thing that is a weakness in his game is his inability to suppress point shots, like to get in the lanes.
Yeah.
And a couple of those got through that caused some trouble tonight. But otherwise, I thought he was mostly a positive in the game.
He's not a great defensive hockey player, period. Oh. He does make up for it with physical play and attacking play. All right. My number, Bruce, is the hit count this game. It was the highest, is that correct? Highest hit count of any game won. There were 112 hits in this game. The previous game won high this year was Tampa and Florida with 109. And it's interesting, like I remember obviously the Dirty Moore hit, but so the Kings had 67 hits. This is a team that averaged 21 hits per game this season. They had 67, more than three times their seasonal average. The Oilers, who averaged 23 hits, had 45. I remember Nurse belting Kempe early in the game. It was a physical game, but I don't remember tons of brutal hits. It was more like just taking the man kind of hits. But nonetheless, the Kings are trying to get it done. You can see their strategy. They want to try to hit the Oilers into submission. Mm-hmm. And good luck with that. Hey, Bruce, I want to ask you something.
They got a lot of big boys.
They do. Early in the game, did you notice the Oilers playing the same neutral zone trap as the Kings almost? It seemed to me, at least, and I might have to watch this again, but the Oilers were back at, like, if the when they're cycling the puck, they're forechecking hard. But it struck me that they were doing to the Kings what the Kings were doing to them. And they were employing a trap of some sort that I hadn't seen. They were much less aggressive forechecking than I thought they had been in the regular season and pulling back. Did you sense that as well or see that?
I just thought they were, you know, being a little conservative to start, but I didn't really notice that they were, you know, doing the 1-3-1 that is so prominent.
No, it might have been a different trap.
Lead, but they really weren't, doing the heavy on the puck pursuit in the early going, but I mean, LA, I bet you they had four hits in the first 20 seconds of this game. They just came out and they were just trying to mash bodies. And they had Matt Roy, 8 hits. Andreas Englund, 7 hits. Pierre-Luc Dubois, 5 hits. Alex LeFerrier, of all people, had 8 hits in this game. And they had almost everybody on the team with, you know, 2 or 3 or more. And that seemed to be a strategy. And you just hope that, for one thing, you know, your team, even if they win the series, they got to survive the punishment to get through it and get to the next series in one piece. So I think DeHarnay and Hyman came up a little sore at times, but I think they got through this game all right.
There was a good hit on Doughty too. Who threw that one? DeHarnay got him once, threw him to the ice, but there was someone who put him into the bench, mm-hmm. the players' bench. Who was that on the Oilers?
Fogle drilled him in the sort of first or second minute of the game.
Might have been Fogle.
Right at the top of my list of notes is Fogle.
Or maybe it was Carrick. Okay. Yeah, it was a good hit. And so there was some good hits, but it didn't strike me as a particularly brutal game, even though there was this mass amount of hits, I guess. But
Well, this was a high event game, David. There were 82 shots on net, 45 to 37, Edmonton. As you say, 112 hits, 67 to 45, LA. There was 72 faceoffs in this game, 40 to 32, Edmonton. That's a high number of faceoffs. And, of course, 11 goals, 7 to 4 for Edmonton. So there was a lot of events in this game, and the minutes just seemed to tick by very slowly.
Yeah. Bruce, our conundrum.
Mm-hmm.
Will Trevor Moore be suspended? Should he be suspended? Go ahead.
Will he be suspended? I continue to say he won't be, but I expect he'll be fine. I'll be disappointed if he's not at least fine, because that was filthy. But for reasons stated that he didn't injure the guy and the guy wasn't a star, they'll just give him basically a warning shot and say, $5,000 fine or whatever maximum allowable under the CBA, whatever that works out to, which for him would probably be the max. He's a good player, but that was not good.
Yeah, I guess I said I wasn't going to get in the suspension issue earlier until now, but I kind of did already. But I do think he should be suspended. I think he should get two or three games, because that was the intent to injure was clearly there. It's a blindside hit from the side. The player doesn't even barely see him coming, and he goes low and he goes for the knee. That's a suspendable offense, if you ask me. And if it was against, again, a skilled player, he could have, if Darnay even got hurt, he might get suspended, but he should still get suspended, and he won't. I agree. He'll get a $5,000 fine if that.
Darnell Nurse did it. It might be a suspension, but.
Yeah. Evander Kane, he'd be out five games.
They're reluctant to suspend, and I think they will be in this instance.
All right. You got the game grades tonight, eh?
I do, and it's only, 12:20 midnight, 00:20 on tomorrow. Here we go with the player grades. These late starts are killers. At least, thankfully, thank the hockey guards, no overtime. Last thing I want is a long, long overtime in the one of these late games when I'm grading.
Indeed.
I used to have the stamina for all-nighters, but it's waning in my fogey years.
All righty. Yeah, I hear you, Bruce. It's not easy to crank it up when you're feeling a little tired. Great game. Great win by the Oilers. Yep. Let's see what happens next.
I got a little nap in this afternoon because I knew it'd be a late night. So
there you go.
Good to go. But glad to get it started. And I'm glad it's not like double overtime. And then,
Yeah, so. Indeed. All right, Bruce, thanks for talking tonight.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.